again, I might say thank you. I'm so privileged to stand before you this morning to preach. I know that this passage have been a challenge to so many people, because we keep hearing the word, if your hand is troubling you, cut it. If your eyes is troubling you, take it off. We keep saying it's in the Bible, we keep saying this is what God said. But God does not mean to say, if really your hand is troubling you, cut it off. Because I believe we are all wise and intelligent. And he's speaking to us in parables. And this passage, I always like to speak on it with careful, and I invite the Holy Ghost to speak through me before I say a word. Because this text is marvelous. Because we heard what our Reverend preached previously, and then last week, and even now she repeated it. But you could see what Joseph went through. Joseph had been tempted in so many ways, but at the end of the day, he triumphed and he became a cornerstone. Now, this is a very serious one that we need to know, because a lot of us, we always talk about the things that God is speaking, but we don't even know what really he means to us. Because he said, if you lead my children into sin, who are the children? He means all age. All age. He does not mean any child or any one child, but he's speaking to all of us. He says, if we lead someone into sin, that means you have done a great thing against him, because his loved ones, the spiritual ones, the emotional ones, because the most painful thing for God is if emotionally you affect somebody, physically you affect somebody, and then spiritually you lead them into sin. It's very painful to human beings on earth. But he says there is internal one that is more painful for you and me. That internal one is what we need to learn, or what we need to know now. Brethren, somebody might have hit you physically here. Yes, you understand. Somebody might have offended you, which you know. You take an offense on it. Yes, we know. But there are things that you don't know. When you go to hell, you don't know how that place looks like. When you go to heaven, we keep saying there's many mansions there. There's no what is called tomorrow. There's no what is called today. There's no what is called hungry, because you are full and intoxicated in the Spirit of God. But that is what our imagination tells us. But I ask you again, going to hell, the fire, do you know how painful it is? God said, we need to know that internal one, because that one, you and me, is difficult for us. And it's very painful. But as we go on, he says something again. He said, if you look at the first one, we read, he tells us on the verse 9, we go to 41. 41, go back a bit. He tells us something there, the good things about God. He said, I assure you that anyone who gives you a drink of water because you belong to me, I will, what? Certainly reward you. It doesn't mean Geoffrey will reward you. That is the 41. That is what he's telling us. He says, when you give somebody water to drink, him, the God, who what? Reward you. That means whatever good you do, don't expect the returns now, because God knows when he's going to reward you, at the appropriate time. Because many of us, we give and expect it back. But when you are are giving. Give from your heart. Give as God gives to us. We are enjoying today the world, the air that we breathe and everything. But we don't know what God takes from us. Because when we go to the kingdom, or when we do others, do good to others, God takes pressure out of that. So, brethren, that is what he's telling us there. But when we go further again to the 42, that is where the warning, the punishment of God comes in. He says, I will punish for those who oppose my spiritual children. You see, God has given us water. Now, he said, whoever that opposes you, he will do what? He will punish that person. Brethren, I tell you, let us lead people into a good track. Let us help people from our hearts. Let us do good to one another. Let us help our neighbors, especially this pandemic time. There are people, they said, social distancing. So because of that, when they need help, you can't even go to their doorstep. Brethren, we are taking precaution, but spiritually, we are immune with the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm not saying you should violate it against the law. Please, take note. Keep your distancing, and then make sure any way of help that you can render to one another, please go on and do it. He said again, if you bless my disciples, great is he that he will reward. But if you lead them into sin and follow them to sin, I will be angry with you. And I will punish you forever. If God says he's going to punish you and me, brethren, can we stand it? We cannot stand it. So I urge each and every one, please, don't let God's wrath come over you. When people mock you, or they try to mock you, please, don't be worried. Because God is with you, because God's faith is with you, and is with you there because God is always near. When people think you are crazy because of your what? Your faith. Please don't be worried at all. If you think because Jeffrey is doing the things of God and he thinks he's the best, or he thinks he's, you are not crazy. God is there with you. When people also think that you are so special person that God always wants to bless you with the good things, God is always there for you. It's not your power or not by your mind, but it's because of the will of God. Now, if always God especially and then personally is telling you something about your circumstance, all you need to do is bow down and listen to God's guidance. Because we are human, God can use me to tell you something that will take you out of trouble. God can use another prophet to come into your way to tell you this is what God is saying about you. To go on, we can be humble and gentle before our enemies. What is God trying to tell us? He said we can be gentle and humble before our enemies. That does not mean we are stupid, but we are trying to behave to let them know whatever they are doing, we have seen it. The way you can put your hand into my eyes, I will ignore it because I know God is watching. Amen. Brethren, don't allow people to continue mugging at you because God is watching our back. Because if God is watching your back, God will not allow you to trip, or God will not allow you to stumble. Amen. Brethren, another thing. There's three warnings that Jesus gave us. That three warnings was, if anyone should curse one of the little ones to lose their faith, he said he will tie the millstone around what? Your neck, and throw you in the deep seas. You see, that water they will throw you in is something that, brethren, is very painful. When they tie heavy stones over your neck and you were thrown into the water, are you going to sustain or are you going to drown? You are going to drown automatically. God is saying it's very painful. But whoever that leads me and you into sin, this is what he's going to do that person. Amen. Now, human beings' skins, our attitude and our actions always do wrong things. And as we do things that is not of God, God is telling us, me and you, we should know the great and mighty things that God always has signed up for us to do. But mostly, most of us, we don't really care, because we know our body language speaks ill. But sometimes, when somebody taps you to tell you what you are doing, you say, who do you think you are? Because, I mean, you are challenging your God now, that because you are bigger than your God. And you know what you are doing is right. But meanwhile, to you and your heart is wrong, is evil. Let's go on. There's temptation on Joseph. But this temptation is starts from we, the children of God, we said we worship and trust in him. Now, I come from Africa. That is my background. That is my culture. But let me tell you something. In my time of my college age, this is what happens. You see most of us in our dormitories, you see most of us who we call ourselves Christians, we are trying to avoid the attitude of going out, going to dances, going to do all sins and all challenges. But yes, still, there are some things in that campus that other friends will lure you into it. That is the temptation Joseph were able to face. But here you are, me and you, trust me. When you were called to go and organize it, yes, you do. Most of the girls sleeping outside the campus, yes, because their parents wasn't there. And they feel so okay. But because within them, they know they are doing sin. But they cannot ignore by saying, I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to go with you because this is not where my parents knew that I am. They brought me to live or to stay in the campus and study. But now, other guys will come and call you and take you home. Let's go for a drink. You know, it's a campus stuff thing. But you are not there because of that. You are there to read your books. But these are the challenges. And even that, people still goes on. And even steal things from one another. Start selling from to one another. Which is not right. But this is not why we are there. That is some of the temptation. But if you are really rooted and planted in the kingdom, trust me, you resist it. Because there are things that you resist. Because you know within you, this is not the right thing. Like Joseph resisted when he was called to sleep with the wife. He could see that Joseph was like, I'm sorry, I cannot do this. Because what I have gotten on this land is greater and bigger and mightier. I have given in charge to rule all over this palace. And now, you want to add yourself to it? I'm sorry. Even though, if the king speaks, and I speak, I become one of the directors. But with this you are tempting me with, trust me, I will not triumph. I will not do it. I will. What did he do? He ran out. He ran away. And what is the Potiphar's wife did what? Pull the garment and get a piece of it as an what? Example to prove to them he came to do what? To rape her. You know, because of the temptation, the whole scenario did what? Change. But you know what? When you have God, you have everything. You were sent to do something good on that particular time. Whatever that might happen, that is why people keep saying, you know, it's part of your destiny. But there are some words that we use, or there are some things that happens. It is not, but because we believe in God, we say it's part of your destiny. But it's very difficult to discover what is called destiny. But if you and me can discover what is called destiny, there's no amount of temptation that can come your way that you will run away. Because this is just a mere something that will happen to go away again. But I challenge you, in our families again, you could see most people using and leading some of our family members to juju, to do evil. And even though, even today, if there's no COVID, you call your brother or your sister and says, look, what to eat or what to drink in my house for the next 2 days will be a problem. If you can be of help. The minute you narrate all your story, the answer that you expected is not what you are going to get. But that person has already listened to what you are encountering, and he or she will not be of help. And at the end of the day, you've sold yourself out. And some of them, you go to their house, you knock their door, they are in the, they will not respond, they will not let you in. Brethren, this is not what God is calling us for. Even if you don't have the faith that we are in now, he's telling us, even as a children of God, in the kingdom, people, body language, even speak ill about them. And if, like me, when I use myself as an example most of the time, when people come to me and speak to me and say, Brother Jeffrey, the way you preach today, you really spoke to me. The last time when you preached, I wasn't happy in this area. Please, in which way? I always welcome the negative and the positive. That will prepare me to move on. So I'm always privileged when people approaches me to tell me, the way you preach, the way you spoke, I really admire. But the way you read, I dislike it. So if you can better of this, please, I'm always happy. Because without you, I will never be here. Amen. Church, when you are under pressure, that is the key. That challenge, that key, that pushing of somebody from somewhere trying to change you, Jeffrey, to become Amy, that is wrong. You know it's wrong. You can never be. But that person is forcing you to do this. Some friends change others. But I keep saying it's because you welcome it. I will not welcome it. That, let that challenge come and I will move. He said, when that pressure comes, brother, sister, when you face that kind of situation, all you need to know is turn to who? Christ. He did not say turn to Geoffrey. He did not say turn to the friends that you have at that moment. But he said turn to Jehovah, the Yahweh, the one who put you there, the one who knows in and out of you, the one who blesses your footsteps, the one who says yes and no one can say no. That is what you need to know. Because he said, any situation and any trouble and any challenges, please don't hesitate. Just turn and come to me, and I will give you the power of my Father. That power of his Father is not a power that some of the men of God today, they stand on the pulpit and they call the power. That power is not from God. But this power is the power from my Father Yahweh. That is what I will give you. Amen. And then he says, when Joseph and Potiphar's wife called him. Joseph was like, my Lord. He thought he is going to be of help to Potiphar's wife. But at the end of the day, the whole scenario did what? Changed. You see what the temptation is. But I'm not saying it happens to Joseph because so that means it's only women who do it to what? Men. No. It happens from men to women. I'll give you another example. There are women today in the workplace of their wives. They are managers who happen to be men. Before you get a promotion, unless you warm their bed, or before you even get an increment, unless you warm their bed. So you see, it's the opposite side. It's just a warning God is telling us. Because when God said, cut your hand, unpluck your eye, it don't mean you should really cut it off or unpluck it. But he's speaking to us parables. He says to you, he have given you wisdom. Use that wisdom. Use that power. You know, so I believe, let us always turn to Christ. Because for whatever we do, we cannot even run away from the fact that there will be challenges forever or whatever we are doing or wherever we are going. Amen. For me to run up, I want you to know the story of Joseph and the challenges that he went through has orchestrated already by God. That is this thing that I spoke about. But Joseph did not know. But being a good son and a good child, he humbled himself. He walked in whatever he's been asked to do, he does it. But because God already have chosen him and anointed him, whatever he steps, he's been announced. Amen. Amen. So let me tell you something. God plans is always the best. Sometimes the process is what? Painful. It's like you're in the wilderness and you need to come out of that wilderness. Then, that is Joseph. Sometimes it's painful and hard, but don't forget that when God is silent over your problems, does not mean he's sleeping over you. Always, he tells us, he said, he's always near to us. And he said, whatever that happens, don't think I've been silent, so that means everything is over. No. He said, he's doing something good for you. So when he's silent over your issues, when he's silent over your job, when he's silent over your sickness, when he's silent over your problems, he said, don't think I have forgotten about you. Don't think I have deserted you. Don't think I'm not going to be there for you. Because I've already told you from the beginning, I'm always near and next to you. But this time, I'm doing something good for you. He's trying to tell you, he will put you before your enemies and they will come and celebrate with you. Amen.